You wouldn't know if you didn't write the Matina though.
I had Shabbat oh, this no. week, the sisterhood is running an event where people will learn how to arrange, how to make different fruit arrangements. So that means the seminary is going to, Mumch is coming in and will show the sisterhood, whoever wants to come, how to cut, how to make flowers out of fruit, and how to make different fruit presentations. So apparently to do this one needs kelim, one needs certain kinds of knives. So the sisterhood is going to get the instructions to which knives to buy, so they're going to buy the knives. Then the teacher is going to come, and every participant will have these special knives, all right? And then, over the course of the evening, they're all going to make their fruits. They're going to make their fruit platters, whatever. And at the end of the evening, they're all supposed to go home, and they take the kelim with them. That's all part of the fee, I guess. Part of the fee is they come, the teacher gets paid a fee, and the participants get the kelim. So the question is, should the sisterhood be tovel the kelim for the event? In other words, one could argue that each member, each participant is going to have purchased the keli, so to speak. So they're going to be using their keli to make their fruit and go home with their fruit afterward. So lechara, why shouldn't lechara the keli have to be keli tevulim? On the other hand, does the sister have the right to be tovel the keli on the on behalf of the participants, and to be mocked them in advance, maybe to be mocked them in the keli? So I thought we should look at the following. I thought that during the event, the keli are klei schoira. During the event, when everybody comes to the evening, they're coming to learn how to cut fruit. So the person who's coming to teach is running a workshop. So the kelim right now are kelim for this event. They're not kelim that I brought into my rishus now that I'm. So, if that's correct, and for that evening they're klei schoira, and the klei schoira mean they're not klei bias yet, because the purpose of us getting together that night is for entertainment, to figure out how to cut these fruits. Lasa lovei, will a woman actually use these kelim? Depends. Some women may use the kelim if they're excited about it and they get into it. So then when they have a simcha, a couple of years later, they'll know how to cut the fruit. Some will probably put the kelim away and never use them. But what's the primary goal? The primary goal is that night the people get together and have a good time. And this is the focus of their entertainment. So that night, the kelim are for entertainment purposes. The kelim are for teaching purposes. They're not klei suda yet. So if that's the case, then, and it may only be that they become klei suda when the woman takes them home later on. So I thought it's better for the sister not to be tovel the kelim. Because I'm not sure if the sister be tovel the kelim, I'm not sure the tilu michal yet. I thought it was better for the sister to buy the kelim, buy it having in mind that it belongs to the sisterhood, that it's for the event, and have in mind that when the women leave the event that night, those who take the kelim with them, so then they'll be kainet then, and then they'll do tefilas kelim later on. Because I'm choishesh that if the sisterhood would do all the tefilas kelim before, it may still require tefilas kelim afterward. It was if you were to argue that if the sisterhood will buy the kelim and be makna the kelim to people, so then maybe you could say that they're ready to be machnas, and then ayidei shlichus are going to do a tefilas kelim. Not sure. That's why I thought it's better to leave them as begeder klei schor b'shas ma'isa, and then the woman be told their own kelim afterward. What do you think? Go ahead.
If the sister had bought all the kelim and opened them and told them all,
right,
and said the sisterhood's buying all these things,
right,
the sisterhood,
yeah.
Right, they're going to own as a group,
right,
all the kelim,
right,
and they're going to use them for preparation of events.
Then
anybody who comes that night,
right,
buy one of the sets and take it home with
them. Right,
but it's already owned by the sisterhood, And if they're leftovers, then the sister's going to keep them.
Right.
And maybe they'll use
but that's
them
not
in
the
shul to prepare the next event.
But that's not the mitzvahs.
No.
No. The sister's not going to start cutting fruits.
They know
very
in advance,
simple.
They know in advance how many people are coming, and that's how many they're going to buy. And
no, but the sister is not going to, has no intention of using this kalim for anything but that night. They have no intent to they cut fruit later on. No. Caterer, so they're using the kalim actually to prepare food. Over here, these. Yeah, but the primary goal there is teaching. Let's go. How is it different from a school, a culinary school? So the kalim there clay suit, or they clay place chayra. Purpose is to go and learn skills. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, it's very. I would assume that even the eating in a culinary school is part of the malacha. Yeah. I would assume. But that's why I was wondering, it was different than most of the people who were there that evening. They're there to have a good time. Louis services wouldn't have this event, so they're not going to the Bergen Community College to do food preparation. Right? Their goal is to have to be entertained, to have a good time together. And later on, maybe if they have time, they'll arrange food this way. That's what.
Isn't the first real place that it touches food? So once it touches food, doesn't that always mean that it's?
No, I don't think. No, I think touching food is a requirement, but not a necessary, but not sufficient. I would think. Right? I would think that doesn't in itself. But right, I would think so. Right. But again, so that's the nakuda. That's the nakuda. Whether the fact that it's, in other words, that's the nakuda. Kalim in a school. Kalim. So I thought that the tshuvas have agave catering. So they in catering, so they had to explain that it's not klei schayra. So I thought you see from here that if something is not clearly done in the context of preparing food to eat, so maybe it's in the category of klei schayra. It's the primary goal here. Sarachias, that's maybe good. That's a good question for the Bechina. Yeah, go ahead.
Is clay suda defined as touching food, or that you eat off of that food? Because I thought we had some examples.
Yeah.
Where it's used for food preparation, but you would never eat off of it, and therefore, or if it's never, even at the end result, like a pot will give you food that is. Ultimately,
right. So
but
eating
if you have something that will only prepare it partially, and therefore, even when it's done with, even when that kli is done, then you still can't eat it.
So if something is that's the suffix. You know, the models you have are the rollers that are used to make the matzahs. So they touch the food, but they touch the food at a time when the food is inedible. So that's a machlekes shachan taz, whether it's a two-letter bracha or not. Then you have the shechita knife. The shechita knife touches food at a time when it's inedible, but that particular knife could be used in conceivably. So then we say everybody holds that's a tefillah without a bracha. Right? Now if you have a knife that touches edible food in the course of preparing the food, so then that would require tefillah, right, with a bracha, right? The touching the food is a tanai. The touching the food is a, and even the touching the food is, you know, shouldn't, some folks will say shouldn't be sort of shouldn't be seen as the touching is the issue, right? But over here, it has all of those components. It has the components that it will be used to service edible food, right? And when it's done, the food was edible before and after. So it'll be done in the preparation of the food. So from that perspective, it's a classic case of Klei Suda. My only suffix is that in this context, it's being used, it's not being used Klei Suda. In this context, it's being used as, again, more for entertainment purposes rather than Klei Suda. Lu Yitzur, let's say the following case. Let's say sometimes caterers have, they have food carvings, right? I don't know if anybody eats those food carvings. And they walk into an establishment, into a simcha, and they make, I don't know, a buggy, it's different things. They're made out of, carved out of food, right? Sarachin is mutter, because of Baltashchas. Sarachin is mutter. But assuming that it's mutter, and assuming that these food carvings are going to be thrown out at the end of the evening. They're not going to be, there's a lot more things that are much more edible that get thrown out. So these will also get thrown out. There's a lot of normal sliced fruit that's going to get thrown out. So this will sure get thrown out. So if you have kalim that are made for these food carvings, and these food carvings, but the fruit is never going to be eaten, so tzorachinu, that requires tevila. That's part of the Ishtamshus, the Bechlal Klei Suda. So now I'm saying the next suggestion. Over here, the primary tachlis was the entertainment, is the learning of the skill. It so happens that you're right, probably the reason eats the fruit, that I'm going to throw out the fruit, probably. So that's what I'm not sure in this case. Since for that evening, the primary goal was the... So for that evening, is it called Klei Schayra? Is it yet... So that's why I thought that the safer thing to do is not be machnas to anybody's rishus at that point, and as long as it belongs to sisterhood, so then for sure, I mean not for sure, but then it's more likely to say it's kleis chayra, because it belongs to the people who are running an event. It doesn't belong to people who make meals. Okay, so that was just, I thought I'd mention it because it just this week as we were going over these halachas, this came up. The next set of halachas we'll discuss is the halachas of Hechsher Kalim. Hechsher Kalim is a siman in Yeredeya Kuf Chaf Aleph and a siman in Arachayim Tof Nun Aleph. That's why we have many Mishnah Berurahs, because we have all of Tof Nun Aleph. And the din of Hechsher Kalim is also learned from the Parsha of Midian, Klei Midian. Ramban says, why Klei Midian? Because Klei Midian was a battle, was not a battlefield battle. It was a battle that we went to their home. So when it came to Sichon, the battle with Sichon, so they didn't bring Kalim with them. But when it came to Midian, we mamash went into their home, so therefore they were normal, useful Kalim that we came back with. So the terrorists, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the halachas of Tfilas Kalim and of Hechsher Kalim. And there Moshe Rabbeinu said that it depends on the Kalim. Certain kalim will have to are not subject to hechsher klecheres, and certain kalim klein nechoishes can be kashered, and it'll depend on the way that the kalim have been used. That'll determine how we have to kasher the kalim. And there was a chiddush over here. Why? Because we could have said if the halacha is that Tam ki ikir is min haTorah, so then there's no chiddush. If tam ki ikir is min haTorah, so then there's halacha that a bliya is a tam, and therefore it'll be niflat afterward. So Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us a din that just like you have to be worried about the tam of a chelev, if it gets absorbed in a piece of meat, or the tam nevela, if it gets tam chelev is best. If mamish melts in. The tam dam, when it's boiled inside a piece of meat, so you have to worry about the tam of tarfas when it's niflat from the keli. So that was the chesh. If you hold the tam ki ikir is adrabon and dikadin, so then there is a chidush over here, a chidush akrah, that when it comes to kalim, the creation place taka says that it was the chidush just for klei midyan. It was like a rosh shod like a kind of chidush. That if you hold tam ki ikir is adrabonon, so this is a strange din. So tefillas kalim, we talk and learn from here about hechsher kalim. So we'll learn the halachas. Why? Because according to Kesher Place, Chazal will then teach, then be misakin halachas based on the way Moshe was told us halachas of gabbai klei midyan. But if you hold that the other achron that Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that this is a chinush akra, that even though according to those who hold that tamki gives rabbanon, so when it comes into kelim, terus mechanish, that you have to worry about tam moishal kelim. All right. Why don't we say that after we have the din of Hechsher Kalim, there's a much easier solution? Moshe Rabbeinu told us we should do Hechsher Kalim. Why didn't he say, Rabbi said, wait a day? Don't use the Kalim today. Use the Kalim tomorrow. So we have a din that if one has something that is treif, but it's something which is eina, it's nevela she'eina ru'uya leger, Gemara Pesachim says, "Kol nevela ger shebesherechet nena ve'achla." So the Gemara darshins that it has to be that anything that is osati is only osati if it's derech achila, if it's a normal thing to eat, if it still tastes tasted decently. If something already has begun to decompose, if food has already begun to sour, so then it's not in the veil really gear. So a person wouldn't eat this. It's already shleika derech achila. So then it would not be nisidei raisa. Chazal said it's osir, but not nisidei raisa. So then there's a machloikas tanorm. Whether when I have something that was nivla inside the clay suda, and it sits there for 24 hours, and then it's ejected out, is that tam going to be a good tam or not? Is it going to contribute a good tam or not? So we paskin that after it's nibbled for 24 hours, it has a tam pogum. And we paskin that tam pogum is the same din as nevela sheina really agar. How do we know this? So that's what the Rosh writes in the tshuva, that's what we learn from kodshim, that if you have kodshim that are nibbled for seicha kli, so it has the din already of ovad tsurosai. If you have a piece of kodshim that already begun to decompose and to smell the sour, so that it has the din of Ovid Tzurosai, it no longer has the din of Kodshim. So the Rosh says, that's what the Tanom were saying, that if it's already Nivla Mesechkli, so then that is a din of Tam, and if it's Nivla Mesechkli for a time when the Tam would already begin to sour, so we learn from Ovid Tzurosai that Tam and Nichlas Mesechkli is also subject to the rule, even if you hold tam kika de raisa, also some of the rule of a tam pogum as evidence from the din of a tzeros legabe kodshim. So therefore, if your person has a keli and it's a fleishig a keli, but it's 24 hours since it's been used bachlau, it's used with anything hot, so any blia inside that keli is already a blia pogum, a blia poguma. Halach is, if the evid a person has a keli, it hasn't been used for 24 hours, and it's a fleishik keli, and when it cooks something inside of it, that will not be called, not be considered to be fleishiks, because it's a tam pogum of fleishiks. There's a discussion amongst the poskim, can one lechanchila do that? But that's what we'll discuss comes in a moment. But mitzad adin, even with tam kiker, once we paskin that a tam pogum is a nevel shulei ger, so if I end up cooking something inside a keli, on the acher that the tam is a tam pogum. So what makes a tam pogum? So that's a discussion, we'll get to it. If a person takes ammonia and boils up ammonia inside a pot, does that poigame any blea that's there already? So, but if a person leaves the tam inside the keli for 24 hours, so the Gemara says that's a tam pogum already. So now, Alpi didn't, we could have left the kelim for 24 hours, and then they have kelim pogumim. But the same token, a person midin de raisa could have one set of kelim, right? And just organize his kitchen very, very carefully, so that on Friday he's cooking fleishiks for Shabbos, right? By the time Sunday rolls around, so the kelim he hasn't cooked with his kelim, he can use those pots for milchiks already. And then, if he eats leftovers for Shabbos on Sunday, and he cooked Sunday mochik, sometime Tuesday rolls around, he can cook fleishiks again. He'll keep on just being machnes tam pogum. So the Gemara, Chazal made a din that a person is not allowed to be soymech on neisin tam lefgam lecharchila. A person cannot cook with a tam pogum. A person cannot be machnes tam pogum lecharchila. A person cannot cook with kelim she'enam b'nei yoyman. So that's what our whole parsha is based on. The whole parsha of Echshar Kelim is that once Chazal made a din that a person cannot cook, cannot be semech on using a tam pogum, so mele, now we have a din. We have to get rid of all the tamim that are in a keli. How do you get rid of the tam that are in a keli? In order that we should be able to use it. L'maisa li'achar maisa b'di oven will not make the food osir. But l'charchila, a person cannot be mevashel. And the chachilu, we can't start using shishim either. Either because shishim will not work in most kelim, because we won't know exactly how much was nivla. So we have to mishar keneged kol hakeli. So we're not going to be able to use shishim. And even if we could be mishar and make them into the category of ein mevad l'nitz l'chachilu, so we mainly have to figure out how we're going to kasher kelim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was megalatas through Moshe Rabbeinu that there are different ways of doing hechsher kelim. That one way of doing it is we call libun. That's kol asher yovavesh, right? Putting something under the fire. So that is libun. And then kol asher yovavemoyim. That is hagola. And if it's not used under heat, then meshuta pemayim. That it has to be washed very well. So when it comes to libun, kol asher yovav be'esh, so there, I think it's Sif Dalin, Kuf Vavalev, no? No, yeah. Anything where the belia came through direct heat, I took a shpud, spit, and I made treif shawarma. So the spit now became treif. How did it become treif? Because the treif shawarma was mavliya, blias inside this spit al yedei ha'ur. So I want to kasher the spit. If I roasted a treif chicken in a rotisserie, so the blia on the spit came directly. If I grilled a treif piece of chicken, so then the kalim on which I grilled which I held the chicken, they were nivlai deor. If I used treif oils or treif a fat to smear a cookie sheet, so then all of these things were nivlai deor. They were nivlai directly into the kalim. So if I want to kasher it, I have to be maflit. So that's what Livon Chomer is. How hot does it have to get? So it has to get that hot, that the sparks would actually fly out of it. That's very, very hard to achieve. But the idea is that the idea of Livon is that whatever was Nivla becomes Nisraf. Whatever is nibble becomes keilu, becomes a piece of charcoal. It becomes, so therefore it's no longer there. Or alternatively, the Mishnah Berurah has a lashon in Sif Katan Chav Tes that it's keilu. I've taken away some of the metal itself. That's how we look at libun. So libun has to get very, very hot, ad kere kach, that it would get red hot. So that's very hard to accomplish. We will discuss later on whether that is necessary lamasa. Why? Because nowadays our materials don't get may not get red hot, because there are certain alloys that are introduced into the metals that we use nowadays. So as the poskim say, does it is nitzaitzais, is red hot ashir in heat, or is it lemaisa required? So lachar, if you hold that libun is nisraf hadavar b'mkoymoi, so it's not a halacha that this stuff will only get nisraf b'mkoymoi if it gets red hot. It'll get nisraf b'mkoymoi if it has undergoes a certain degree of heat. So if we can figure out the heat that was required in order to get a basic metal to become red hot or to become nitzaitzai, so then we should be able to introduce, as long as we introduce that kind of a heat in our modern day metals, then we should also be able to accomplish libun. That's libun chomer. Sometimes we and then if it's nichnas al yedei mayim, if the belia took place not al yedei or but through some medium, through some fluid, some liquid, some oil, or some water, so then the Torah said that we can be maflit al yedei hamayim. That's what we call agola, by boiling up water inside a keli. I used a keli, I cooked a soup, and I threw a trace piece of chicken into the soup, or a trace piece of meat into the soup. So the blia took place via the water, via the mayim. So now I have to kasher the keli by boiling up water in order to be maflet the flesh, the treif tam that was inside. Sometimes I will be unsuccessful in doing a good hagola. For example, sometimes you have the classic situation is where you have, let's say, an instrument, a fork, let's say, or a spoon, and the spoon is a two-piece spoon. There's a handle and there's the spoon itself, and they're held together, often picks up grime, and I use this spoon in order to stir this treif chicken soup. So l'chara I should require hagol on the spoon, but we'll learn that where there are stokim, where there are cracks, or let's say I have a very, very intricate design, so then halacha is that we're afraid that the hagola will not be successful, so that's when we do something called a libun kal. A libun kal is an upgrade, so to speak, of hagola. And how hot does it have to get to do libun kal? So it has to get hot enough that kash nisraf, that if we would put a piece of straw to it, then the piece of straw would get hot. Well, Yoshev is quoted as saying that nowadays we don't have straw really accessible. You take a piece of paper and the paper turns black, so that would also be good enough. For Vosner writes in the tshuva that it's lav davka that has to be meluban al yedei direct eish. That's not the requirement. That might be a requirement in liban chomer. But in liban kal, he says the issue is only that it gets to a certain heat. So that's in between. You have a liban chomer, then a libun kal, then you have hagola. Hagola can sometimes be done, usually it's done by boiling water inside. Hagola may have to be done, or can be done, the iri sometimes. And it was if the belia took place, the iri, so then if the iri took place by spritzing of a counter, how did the counter become treif? How did the counter become a chomet stick? I wasn't cooking on the counter, but I had a pot on the counter, the pot spilled. The chomet stick pot and it spritzed over. I was cooking a treif piece of chicken and it spilled over. So then the heksher was done the iroi by spilling over water on top of it and being maflit that way. What happens if the tam is there al yedei tzoinei? Right? In other words, I just used I had a treif wine in a glass, and it was sitting there for 24 hours. So halach is that if something sits for 24 hours, it's nivla. How are we going to be maflit that? So there the what we normally do in that case is we would do, it rarely comes up that shreif sits for 24 hours. So if you can do agola, you can do agola. But then that's something called shtelling. Every 3 days we have water sitting in this glass for 24 hours at a time. So again, it'll be maflit the way that it was is nivla. If it was only used, it wasn't used for 24 hours, then you simply wash it. That's hadacha b'tzoynein. And if it was something like a knife that was used for something that's very, very soft and has a soft consistency, so that's when we do the itzav akarka, we stick it into the ground that is not normally not soft ground, not beach sand, and we do it for 10 times. So those are the different 7 different ways of accomplishing any kind of hechsher. Liman chover, liman kal, hagola, different forms of hagola, and then iri klivishin, and hadocha b'tzoyna, and milu v'iri, and the itza b'karka. How do we determine whether what is mechuyev to do hechsher kelim to begin with? So let's say a person says that now that this pot became treif, so now so I won't use it anymore. So I'm mechuyev to do extra kelim if I want to keep it in the house. So we know the very first sif of Tof Nun Aleph is that if a person has chometz de kelim, so obviously one's allowed to hold on to the chometz de kelim over Pesach, has the din of bulua. When isn't mechuyev when one would want to put them away, so that one doesn't get to when not use them accidentally. But something's beluah, there's no Easter, even Chomis with Pesach, with the Easter Bali Rabbi Yimotzeh. There's no Easter Bali Rabbi Yimotzeh at the Tarifas. Only Chomis with Pesach, the first Taisa, the beginning of Psochim. So the dinner Bali Rabbi Lagabe Pesach. So then it's Tof Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch says one's allowed to hold on to them, one's allowed to keep them. It's Chomis beluah, there's no Bali Rabbi Yimotzeh. That's Magen Avraham says there's no din of chometz over all of a Pesach when it comes to Balua. So I don't have to worry about it after Pesach. I'm going to be using these kelim. I'll be maflit the Balua, the blias of chometz. And in chometz over Pesach, there's no chometz over the Pesach gavi Balua. There is a, you'll find in some of the svarim, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that they used to put into the shtar mechira. They used to say that they're selling a Balua of a kelim. So that's a questionable thing to do to begin with. First of all, there's a question whether you can bechlal sell balua. Is it nitin lamchira? Moshe Shturmach has a tshuva in the first chelik of Tshuva and Hogeis. He says he's not sure if you can sell balua. He has very sophisticated proofs for it. He says that he quotes the Brisker Rav was discussing whether half Russia's trumas and maestras would bechlal help on Tamas Balua. So I'm not sure if it's nitin lemchira. Would anybody buy Dover Balua? It's a pella. Nosson Gestetner, one of the great postkum Nei Brak, he's quoted in one of the recent svarim as saying the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch did not mean mamish Balua to the Yevsha. He meant that it's chometz is stuck to the keli. If you have a bag and sometimes chometz gets stuck in the weave of the bag, so that's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch meant. Shlomo Gansfried meant in his Shtar Mechir. He didn't mean mamish bulua. He meant that it was stuck there. There is so that's why again. So our practice, I think, is commonly not. We don't mention bulua. I don't know if you even mention chometz hadavak. We assume it's included in the general nusach of chometz. Rav Henkin, Zatzal, he taka would sell the kelim. That's again a very, very difficult chumra to understand. Would sell the kelim. That's and selling the kelim creates a big problem whether you have to do tefillas kelim. That's what we mentioned last week. The Chazanish, he was machmir to sell the kelim, but he was also machmir to do tefillas kelim after Pesach. But we would have a tough time doing tefillas kelim, so it's really a chumra shosu levei kula, and that's a chumra. It's hard to understand. we have the nusach of the Chasam Sofer Shtar Mechira that he has from Rav Nosson Adler, and the nusach of the Neir Yehuda, I think, through the Shivas Tzion, and there they were taka machmer to sell the chomitz adavuk bekelim, but not the chomitz abalua. Bechlal, when it starts selling chomitz balua, so then Rabbi Willig pointed out many times, if you start selling things that are not idlam chira, so then it's going to raise the question whether the mechira is really a mechira. If you're selling things that can really be sold, alright, you're doing a mechira. But if you're selling things that can't be sold, that no one's going to buy, so then already then you're creating a fiction. So then the guy doesn't think he's buying anything. So that's why it's these are not chumas that we understand that we should do. And as a pella, when we see that sometimes they were done. What happens if a person has a keli? So again, so we said legabe, keeping the keli. All right, so obviously if a person has a keli, became treif and shouldn't be used, this is a din from the Gemara that l'laniach, one shouldn't leave something that can be machshel somebody in one's house. So you have to make a simen, make it into a flower pot. You have to make a simen that this shouldn't be used. But there's no din per se, just like there's no din by Rabbi Yimotze. What happens if a person wants to use keli in a different way? In other words, this was a spit that was used to make a shawarma and became treif, and now they'll make a simen on it and they'll use it just for piercing fruit. So it'll only be used b'tzayinim. So it'll never be maflit in the way that it was, it'll be maflit. So the Shulchan Aruch has in Kuf Chof Aleph Sif Hey that to use it by Fenei Roy, that's not a problem. Once in a while, to use, and b'diyava is certainly not a problem. But Shulchan Aruch says you're going to keep this spit in the kitchen, and you know that you're only going to use it for fruit, but then it's going to be there for a while, so then we should be careful because ultimately it's going to make its way back into the grill. So b'kviyas, one should not use it, one should not have it around unless one is going to be machshir. That's where the Shach also says that if one has kli cheres and they became treif, so one should take get rid of them, so one doesn't end up using it. What happens if one has? How does one determine how one's going to be machshir the keli? In other words, if it's erev Pesach and you want to use a keli that was used for chametz, so how do you determine what kind of hechsher you're going to use? That's the machlekes, Rishayin machlekes Mechaber Rimo. The Mechaber writes, you go basa roiv tashmish. The way this is normally used, if it's normally used on your day mayim, so you don't have to be choishish that sometime a person took a pot and made a chomistic dish without any mayim, and therefore it really requires libun. A person gets a pot from a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, and the parents were not careful about kashrus. So how does the kid figure out how to be makshel the kelim? So the Mechaber writes, go bosei roiv tashmish. So roiv tashmish, we'll get again a yois that le'achar 24 hours is going to be then the rabbanon anyways. A yois said if you hold tam kikir, the rabbanon is going to be then the rabbanon anyways. So then, I mean the bliya. Yeah, that's not what we just said. Tankis Rabban and Hekshek might be still day rice except for the crazy place. But a yoisi could wait 24 hours and use it and it's a din the Rabban that require Hekshek. So go bust the Rav Tashmish, and that I believe is how Svarim are fascinating. But the Ashkenazim, we follow the din of the Ramah. And the Ramah says you have to go bust miyut tashmish lechad chila. In other words, that you have to If I know that I have a keli and rave at the time it was used yidei mayim, but I know that one time it was used mamash ayideo or with treif, so the Chazon Ish writes that then the mechaber would not be mekel in that case. Chav would not be mako that if I know for sure it was used al yidei ur, that I can then be mako and go baser roiv. Certainly it goes a step further. Right. Other svarim say that the mechaber would hold the following. The mechaber would say the following. They would say that if I know that within the last 24 hours it was used al yedei ha'or, so then I certainly have to be machal al yedei ha'or. But if in the last 24 hours it was used only al yedei mayim, and a year or two ago or 5 months ago it was used al yedei ha'or, so then the hechsher is only because of it is because the din derabbanan of doing hechsher even when the time was a tam pogum. So the mechaber would say legabi the din derabbanan hey mamre mamru, the chazal did not say to be choishesh for every single usage, because only for the only choishesh for al pi roiv. If I know it happened last 24 hours, I have to be choishesh. And so that's a machlekes achrayim, whether even the mechaber would be makel if I knew bevados. Right? But Ashkenazim are machmir that. Going that we have to be choishesh for miyot tashmish. In other words, as the remote quotes, I think it's a ma'aril, that if I have a keli, and even al pi rav is used by adei mayim, but it's reasonable, it's considerable, it happens sometimes that people use it adei or, so then I have to be choishesh, and I have to do the hechsher of adei or. The shaila amongst poskim is what happens if I have a keli that will get ruined if I do a yedei ha'or, and I don't know that it was ever used like yedei ha'or. So do we say that the remote we make on that case? Why do we say that shas adchakidi avadami, that the eved, if I don't know the keli was used like yedei ha'or, only that they mayim, and ruba de ruba is used like yedei mayim, so then. But the Eved will be Mekel. We Mekel anyways, because it will be a Tam Pogum. So then do we say, if the Keli will not get ruined, that's the Din of the Ramah. That's what the Ma'aril said. That we have to be Choshesh for any reasonable usage, even though it may not be the Roiv usage. But if the Keli will get ruined, do I have to be Machmer in that case? Or a similar Shiloh amongst Poskim is, what happens if the... What happens if the keli, if the miyut ishtamshus be keli was a dover gush? Right? We'll learn later on, a machlegis Ramon Marshal, whether a dover gush is like a kli rishon. Right? A dover gush is like deho. Let's say I have a kugel which became treif, and it came from the kli rishon onto a keli. So lachari you would say, that it's already a kli sheni, but the marshal says that if it's a dover gush, you treat it as if it's a kli rishon. So now we require hechsher kelim because it's a kli rishon. So it requires a liban. What happens if the liban will ruin it, or even without that? Do we have to be machmir for the rima and the marshal together? If the machmir for miyut shtamshus, and the miyut shtamshus is a dover gush, so that's. That's a question that the Rabbanim discuss. I don't know if there's any consensus on that issue. Good. So we've outlined that what Hechsher Kelim is and the various requirements. Now let's discuss the different kinds of Kelim. And then we'll go back to discuss Liban and Hagola in greater detail. So we know from the very beginning of Tofnun Aleph that Klei Cheres is not going to, any time that Klei Cheres have in any way absorbed any Tarfas, Klei Cheres we are going to throw out. Can't be kasher. And we know that Klei Matches have all of the options. You can do Hagola, you can do Iri, obviously, you can do Liban, and obviously Tzoyne. All right. What about other kinds of materials? What about materials that have different components inside of them? So first, let's discuss again zechuches. Zechuches the machleges mechaber remot, the very end of Tov Nun Aleph. The mechaber quotes, and the mechaber says, the last page of Tov Nun Aleph. Simon Tov Nun Aleph Simon Chof Vav. Klei zechuches afilu machnisan lekiyum. Afilu mishtamish ben bechamin. Ein tzorach shum echsher she einom boilin u'bishtifa ba'alma sagilu. That's the mechaber. So mechaber paskins based on a Rashba. The Rashba quotes and it says in Ovis de Rab Nosson that there are different kinds of personalities. Some personalities are like cheres, they belay everything, they're very impressionable. Some personalities are like zechuches, that everything rolls off. Shua ve'ena belaya. So Rashba learned, you see, there's such a thing that a material, it's mamash not playing anything, it rolls off. And the Rashba marshals a raya for this, because it says in the Gemara Pesachim that the lave is, the Gemara was discussing how to kasher the lave itself, so the heart muscle. So the one day is that lave is shia, the lave is smooth, and doesn't require and will not be beleya. So the Rashba says, you see, there are materials that are not beleya, and you see from Avos Rav Nosson that zechuches is not beleya, so therefore zechuches just has to be washed out. That's the mechaber. And that's what the mechaber writes, the glass containers of wine in the Yerodei Chelik base. And then the Ramor writes, Yesh Machmirin. The Rambam declares, Chuches afilu ha'gola loy mahanilu. V'chein ha'minig Ashkenaz. Some say, Udina Seilu. Some say, Fakeret. They claim the Chuches is like Cheres. Why is that? So we discussed last week, or 2 weeks ago, that there's two Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Shabbos and a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. How do you determine what zchuches is? Zchuches is avyosa and menachoil, that it had briyosa and menachoil. It's in terms of its substance, in terms of its materials, the same as klecheres. However, in terms of the way that it's shaped, as in terms of it's a dover nitach, it's something like mateches. It's something which, if it's broken, theoretically it could be melted down and it could be reshaped. So do we evaluate zchuches like cheres based on its substance? Or do you evaluate zchuches like mateches based on the fact that it's repairable? Is it repairable a comment, a quality of the substance? Is it dover nitach? Or is it a comment on the way that the heat is applied to it? So Rosh Hashanah discusses that. All right, different ways of looking at it. But lemaisa, those are the two criteria. So zchuches falls in between. So we know that legabe tumam. So the Torah, the halach is to be machmir like the cheres. And legabe tefillas kelim are machmir, it's legabe met, it's like mateches. And that's what Takatesu says in Avodah Zarah, that we're going to chumr mitzanu chazal v'kebeya. However, chazal v'kebeya the chumr bedin, not mitam sofei. Now, so what do chazal say legabe the blias? So the Rishba has his mahalach. There is no Gemara on zchuches and belias legabe zchuches. So there's a chiddush. There is a material which is bechlal, not beleya. So now that's the Rishba. That's the mechaber. So the Rishba says no. We have no basis to say that there's something that can be beleya. And the Ayin is an Ovis Rav Nosson. No, Thomas Rav Nosson was talking about the way people look at things. Mila the Alma was giving a. You can't pask an halacha based on what is really essentially divrei agada. These are all the Rishonim say this. So the Rambam paskins that since it's b'yosem min achoyel, we should follow the approach of being machmir. That since it is in some way like cheres, you could even say a little bit further. You could say that could be that the what determines belia, maybe the substance determines belia. Now you'll tell me that there is a Gemara that says that the leiv is not absorbing. So Rabbeinu Tam learns a different shot in the Sakha Vatarye. That's a dichoy bi'alma. That the Gemara was not ascertaining that the leiv is not belay at all, but that it's not subject to the din of Kibolei Kach Polti. It's not belay that much. But there's another pshat that we shouldn't have over there, that it means that the leiv is intact. So when the leiv is intact, it's a closed organ that's pumping up blood, so it's not going to be belay then. But you can't learn from there, I knew you saw it, that there's such a thing as a material which is not belay. However, the Ramah does not have this ha'ara in Hechsher Kelim in Yayin Nesach. Over here, the Ramah says, Yesh Machmirim, and Armin Egesvi Machmir. So why did the Ramah say the same thing in Yerideya? So there are several approaches. One approach is that the Ramah had in mind to be Machmir only on the Pesach. So when it comes to Pesach, so then the Ramah had understood that there is a Rashba, that maybe we should be Machmir, like to be Shayna more Machmir, because of Yosem and Achoyel. So Ramah made Achra. When it comes to Pesach, so then he wanted to say we should be Machmir, because of the Chumid of Pesach. When it comes to the Halachas, then we can follow, then we can be Mekel, Saif. It's going to be only an issue of Tam. So that was one mahalach pshat in the Ramah. The other pshat in the Ramah is, the Ramah understood that you learn Hilchas Aruch Haim before you get to Yerideya. So Aruch Haim really told us that it's a halacha of Cheras. So now when we get to Yerideya, we shouldn't remember what the Ramah already said. There is a third sheet in the Rishonim. We learned the sheet of the Mechaber and the sheet of the Ramah. There is a third sheet of the Ramah and the Ritva. They all say that glass should be compared to Matechas, and therefore should be Nitin for Hagolah. And even though the Rishonim will say, the Ra'ah says that maybe we should be afraid that glass could be broken, and therefore it should be more like Cheres. So the Sharetzin quotes, Rishonim will say that, but if the glass is going to be continuously used, Al-Yidei-Ur, and in hot substances, so then we see that we're not choshes that it might be broken. So amongst the Achroinim, the Yabetz holds that it's not Beleya, straight like Shulchan Aruch. The Mogen Avraham holds straight like the Ramah that it's Dinei Kecheres. And it would seem from the Darkei Moshe that he does hold there, like they were on the Ritva, maybe not, he would hold, maybe not for Pesach, but he would hold, and it seems like the Taz that the Paskin, like the third Shita, that there is Hagolah, and it sounds like from the Sharetzin also, that there is room to say that we can do Hagolah on glass. And Rav Adi Yosef, the Yechamed Doas, so he says that even Ashkenazim, the first chelek, he says that even Ashkenazim can be mekel to do Hagolah. In other words, that Svardim, I think, would follow the din of the Mechaber. But Ashkenazim, either Ramah says that we should treat it like Cheres. So that's perhaps what the Ramah, since he only put in Hilchos Pesach, maybe held that was a chumra. So that's what that's the achra that Rav Yosef suggests, that outside of Pesach we can do Hagolah on glass. And Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Aleph that for Pesach we should be machmir to treat it like cheres. However, if it was only used for cold, then we can use the shtelling, irui shleisha yamim. And there's a question amongst the achrona, what's pshat in irui shleisha yamim? The Chazanish raises that what does it do? So his Talmud, Ravoza, suggested irui is machlish the tam, like a reverse of kovash. So Rav Moshe writes, but outside of Pesach, one should follow kiminog. If a family is a minog of doing hagolah on glass, then one can be do hagolah on glass. And if one has the minog to treat glass mamish kecheres, so then one should not do hagolah. What would be the reason to be mako? So I guess that the reason would be that hayoyis, that when there is a sofik in the psak of the Ramah, and outside of Pesach, when glass becomes treif, so what would be the reason to be mako? Hey, yois, if there was a suffix in Achro, the Ramah only said legavi Pesach, and there's reason to believe he only wanted to be machmir for Pesach. So then, and hey, yois, if there is a shita to be shown, the hagolah will work, and the Sharet Tzion seems to accept that that's a valid shita. So that would be the reason to say, and the yois said, if you leave for 24 hours, it'll be a din derabbanan. So that would be a reason to say that we will be making and allow hagolah for glass, for other isurim rather than chomeis bePesach. Right? Klayetz is sivaches. Also, hagolah works. Sometimes you have to be very careful in klayetz because klayetz has a quality that it gets easily picks up stokim, cracks very easily. So one has to be very, very careful that one is not doing hagolah on a piece of wood, if a wood keli, a wood cutting board, or a wood table, without getting rid of the stokim, or being careful of the stokim, because there could be some emotions there. What happens if you have a keli which has different kinds of materials in it? It's this. So there, the Dachichuva quotes a machlekes achrayim, whether you go basar roiv. What would be the model to do that? Like tumantara, a keli is partially makabel to partially not makabel. It's different materials. So we say that the meat is botel. So when Chazal made their din of hechsher kelim, so then they solid after the din of tumantara. They go basar roy. But do we say that doesn't make any sense? That's what the Marsham says. Marsham says we're talking about belias. So you have a keli, it's made up of different kinds of materials. So then you have to be machmir for the one that is most sensitive. That's the Marsham's psak. The Chitshuva quotes a base Yitzchak that is machmir like the Marsham. That we should go kefi miyut. And then the question comes up, what is it? Comes up frequently nowadays. Because you have, let's say you have kelim. Sometimes you have kelim that are made of stoneware. So some stoneware is chopped up stone that's then glued together by different kinds of adhesives. So the stone can be machshirit. The other adhesives is a big shayla. Sometimes we'll discuss next week enamel. We'll discuss sometimes you have certain kinds of kelim where there's a ceramic content. So the basic material is nidin lechshir, but the ceramic is not. That's the machlokes of the Chitshuva quotes. When they go baser roi, when they go baser, the most sensitive kind of material. Okay, until next week in Mitzvah Shem.